So we start at the bottom of Kuf to Zayin Amud Bet. We're going to start the Bayi Rabbi Amabar Mamel. So now we had stated in the Mishnah that the person who lives in the Aliyah, the person who lives up above, has the right, if his Aliyah somehow is no longer there or no longer available for him to live in it, he's allowed to move downstairs and live in the lower part of the house. So that's what we discussed yesterday, and that's what Ravashi said in the end, that the case is a case where he says that I'm going to rent you Aliyah Zu, Shagabe Abayit Zeh, that's above this house, and the extraneous Lashon of Bayit Zeh, right, indicates that he's Meshabed the Bayit, he's Meshabed the house to the usage of the person who lives in the upper part of the duplex. So now, Rabbi Abba Marmama wants to know, Kishu Dar, when he moves downstairs, when he has that right to move downstairs, what does that entitle him to? I mean, is he entitled to live there, right? Levado hu dar kimidikara. He lives there alone, downstairs, like he did before. I mean, when he rented the upstairs of the duplex, he had his own private house. So now when he moves downstairs, he should be entitled to the same private house. O Dilma Shnehem Darim. Is there maybe both of them live there? Meaning the Bala Bayit, the owner of the house, plus this socher who's now moving downstairs, they will jointly live in the downstairs part of the house. Damerle, adat af kinyan lo agri lecha. He says, I didn't rent it out to you for you to kick me out of the house. I mean, true, I might have been meshabed my house to you, but when I'm meshabed my house to you, it's not at my expense. It's not going to be that I'm going to lose a place to live or a location for me to have in order to live in. And we had a similar type of idea or concept back on, I think it was Tzadi Aleph. The Gemara on Tzadi Aleph Amud Bet, the Gemara, or Kuf Aleph, I'm sorry, Kuf Aleph Amud Bet, the Gemara there discussed the issue about Agra, when a person is renting out a location and then the Bala Bayit has to provide him a new place, we don't kick out the owner and say, listen, the other individual says, I can't find any rentals, I want the house. We don't kick out the owner and say, you go find somewhere else to rent. If there's nowhere to rent, we're not going to kick out the owner. So the same thing here. Even though I've been meshabed my house and entitled you to come and live downstairs, that doesn't mean it has to be at my expense, right? That's the other tzad. So the Gemara says, "Imtim salomar." So now the Gemara is moving forward with the conclusion, "Imtim salomar shnehem darim bo." That yeah, ain't ochanami. Just like we had on Kuf Aleph and Bet here too, the Bala Bayit, the maskir, is not going to be worse off than he was before. True, the socher might move in with him, but we don't throw him out of the house and say you have nowhere to live. Now, now, when it comes to entering the house, how does the socher, who was renting the upper half of the duplex, right, where does he enter the house from? Does he come in through the doorways? Oh, derech gagim mishtamesh, or does he come in through the roof? Meaning, when you enter the house, the lower house has doors that come in from the chatzer. Now, the upper part, the aliyah, which is no, the duplex, which is no longer usable, has staircase that goes upstairs. And then there's an internal sulam or ladder, which allows you to come down from the upstairs into the lower part of the house. So now the question, mi amar kidmi kara? Then he says, listen, you have to be the way it was before. Mami kara derech gagin. Just like before, when you entered your duplex, the place that you had rented, you had to climb up the stairs. Hashtanami derech gagin. So too now, when you want to enter the house, go in through the upper part of the house. O Dilma, matziamale aliyah kabili alai. I accepted, or when I rented the upper part of the duplex, I accepted to climb the stairs to get into my house. Aliyah virida lo kabili alai. What I did not accept was that I would go up the stairs to get into the location and then have to go back downstairs to get into the place that I'm going to live. I mean, that's true that I agreed to go up one flight of stairs. What I did not agree to was go up the flight of stairs and then come down another flight of stairs. So now the Gemara goes towards a conclusion. Im tim salomar, if you want to say, matzi amalei aliyah v'rida lo kabili alai, that was not what I accepted, meaning that I accepted only to go up, not to go up and go down. Therefore, he would be entitled to enter the house, the lower house, through the doorways. Now, shtei aliyot zu agav zu. You have two, you have a, not a duplex now, but you actually have a three-level house. It's a three-level house, and now they're rented out. The Bala Bayit, or the maskir, lives on the bottom level. The socher lives on the upper levels, the second or third level. Right, so in this case, mahu, what's the din? Ifchit el yonah, if the top floor, he had rented out the third floor, and then it collapsed or the floor somehow was ruined, and he can't live on the third floor. Nochit v'dar b'tachtona. Then he clearly can go down and live on the second floor, right? Because over there, he's no worse off than he was before. I mean, he only has to climb two floors, he has to go to the second level now, not to the third level. And assuming that it's the same size and so on and so forth, then there's no reason why he can't move down from the third level to the second level. And that's clear. The question comes out is, what happens if ifrit tachtona mahu? What is the din when it comes to the second level? If the second level now becomes uninhabitable, where do we move the socher on the second level? The mislak legamrei bel yonah miamrinan, right? Do you say to him, can he push him all the way up to the third level and say, Damarle, Shem Aliyah Kabbalitalech, that you or Lecha, you accepted to live on an upper floor. So upper floor could be second floor, third floor. So fine, the second floor is no longer usable, but the third floor is just fine. Go live on the third floor. O Dilma, or maybe the tenant can say back, Chad Aliyah Kabbalale, I was willing to accept going up one story. What I did not accept was Kabbalit, but I did not accept going up Shtei Aliyot Lo Kabbalale, but I did not accept to go up two levels, to go up two stories. I mean, I accept to live on a second level, not on a third level. There, the Gemara leaves it as a teiku, as an unanswered question with regards to when he's rented out the second level and there's the third level available, which is the part that is Meshubad. Where can we force? Can we force him up to the third level? Or does he have a right now to come down and live with the Balabait on the lower level? Now, again, the first two questions, or really three questions we answered, were number one, when you use Meshubad, the Bait down below, it means to move in with the Balabait, not to kick the Balabait out. Number two is that he can enter Derech Ptachim, he can enter through the doorways the same way the Balabait does. And third is if he rented the third level, he can move him down to the second level if the third level becomes uninhabitable. The one question we don't know is if he rented the second level, can we force him up to the third level, or can he refuse and then he's entitled to move downstairs in with the balabait? Right now, we're going to the second half of the Mishnah. In the second half of the Mishnah, the Tanakhama seems to indicate, right, that the obligation is on the tachton, on the lower level, to take care of this, meaning that the balabait take care of this roof or floor that has caved in. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, "Hatachton notenet hatikra," the one who lives down below puts on the floorboards, or puts on, right, the roof, the actual boards. Velyonet amaziva, and the upper level puts in the plaster or the sealant that sits on top of the floorboards. So now the Gemara wants to understand the machlokas. So Gemara says, "My tikra." What does it mean, tikra versus maziva? So what's my tikra? Rabbi Yossi bar Bichanina amar, "Kinim v'sanain." So these are kinim and sanaim. Rashi says, what is that kinim sanaim? Is maset tikra ke'im machatzalot shekoreim klaidush. It is some sort of matting that you place over there. I know it's like a thatched roof. I'm not exactly sure how this supports weight and how it becomes a level, a floor that people can walk on. But that's the way Rabbi Yossi Baruch Hanina says it. Okay, so that's interesting. So what you're saying, it shows that it's a given. According to Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, it's a given that he has to put in the floorboards. The question is if he has to put in, like, what they put in, when they do poured reinforced concrete, where they put in the metal grating. So that's what these machatzalot are, that they're areas that allow for the pouring of the plaster on top of it. Okay, it's interesting. Doesn't seem to match what Rabbi Shimon Lakish is saying, but fine. So now Rabbi Shimon Lakish says levachim. What are levachim? Levachim are floorboards, basically boards that you put down. If you look in Rashi says the laz is planks. It's planks that are placed down, the boards that are laid down, and then the maziva sits on top of that. So now, velopige, they don't argue. Markiatre u markiatre. Each one is according to their own location. I mean, that's what they use to lay the maziva on, or that's what they use to place the floorboards, and then the maziva sat on top of it, or if it sat on top of the machatzalot, whatever was the common practice in those areas. Now, hanu beitre. So this is a case. These two individuals, they lived in a duplex. So now that they lived in this duplex, ifchit maziva. the plaster wore down. So Kimashi Maya Eli, when the upper level of the duplex used water or poured water, Azle Umazke Le Tatai, it would drip down and affect the people who lived below. Meaning basically because it had worn down, now any water that fell on the floor upstairs leaked down into the lower level. Right? And Rashi says this is not a case of Socher Maskir, this is two different individuals, one who owns upstairs, one who owns the downstairs. So now Rab Chia Ba Abba Amar Halyon Mitaken. Chir Abba says that the person who lives upstairs in the duplex has to fix the maziva. Rabbi Chia Bar Rabbi Yossi says Amar Tachton Mitaken. The lower level has to fix it. V'siman, the way to remember whose opinion is V'Yosef Hurad Mitzrayma. So V'Yosef is for Yossi, right? So Chia Bar Rabbi Yossi says Hurad. Hurad in Aramaic is Tachit or Lachit. So therefore, he's the one who says Tachton. Right, Yosef Hurad Mitzrayim at the lower level. Rabbi Yossi is the one, Rabbi Chia Bar Yossi is the one who says the lower one is responsible. So now Gemara says, Lema, Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Rabbi Eli, Beplukta, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbanon, Kemiflege. Let us say that they argue in the Machlokas of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanon in our Mishnah. Leman Damar Elyon Mitakein, the one who says that the responsibility or the obligation is on the upper level to fix it, Kazavar Alamazik Larchikatats Momina Nizak. Right, that is the obligation of the one who causes damage to distance himself or to prevent the damage from happening. Umandamar Tachton Mitakein, the one who says, right, it's the obligation of the one who lives downstairs to fix the roof. Kasavar ala nizak lachikatatz momena mazik. That it's the person who possibly could get injured, it's his obligation to remove himself from a place where he could get injured. So we're going to suggest the same thing here, that Rabbi Chia Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Chia Ba'abo are arguing in whose obligation it is to remove the damage or prevent damage from happening. The one who says it's the mazik says that the upper level has to fix it. The one who says it's the nizak says it's the low level. And the Gemara says, oh, maybe that would be the same as the machlokas in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, the Tana Kama, suggests that the obligation's all on the balabait, all on the downstairs level. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says the maziva belongs to the upper level. So Rabbi Yossi is going to hold like Rabbi Chir Ba'abo, and they're going to believe that what? That it's the mazik that must distance himself. And then the Tana Kama and Rabbi Chia Bar Rabbi Yossi, who say it's the downstairs who's responsible, they say it's the Nizak who's responsible to remove himself. The Gemara says, V'tisbara. Can you really say this? Rabbi Yossi, Rabbanon, Nini Nizakim, Plige? Can you really say that Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanon in our Mishnah are arguing about Nezek? Why can't we say that? V'ayip chashmein in lehu. Because we find that their opinions are the exact opposite of our Mishnah in other places. Ditnan, we have a Mishnah. Marchikim et an ilan min habur. Right, so you have to distance the tree from the boar. So this is Baba Basra stuff, a little getting a flavor for the Baba Basra. One has to put a tree far away from the pit or the well of his friend, right? Esrim v'chamesh amat, 25 amot. Why? Because he wants to prevent, we don't want the roots of the tree to impinge on the boar. That'll hurt the boar, it'll collapse the walls. U'becharuv u'beshikma. It comes to a carob or a sycamore tree, chamishima, it has to be 50 amot because they have very large and extensive roots. Ben milamala, whether the right tree or the boar is above, right, they're not on the same level, they're at different levels. Ben minatzad, or whether they're on the parallel, they're on the same plane. Meaning that we still worry about the roots of the tree damaging the boar, either because they're below the boar and therefore they will cut out under the karka and weaken the bottom of the boar, or right, they're on the side and they'll weaken the walls of the boar. So we worry about it. Ima bar boar kadam. If the boar was there first, kotzei tzvinotein damim. We cut down the tree and he gets paid. We compensate him for the tree being cut down. Ima ilan kadam. If the tree was there first, lo yikotz. You can't cut the tree down because he basically, right, he has almost an easement here because he placed the tree there prior to you ever digging the boar. Safek zekadam lo yikotz. Since the outcome when lo yikotz, right, is, or that the possibility is when he's right or he has the right to be there, we don't cut it down. So now we're going to say, motzi michaver olav araya. And motzi michaver olav araya is, you want to cut this down, you better bring proof that your boar was here first. Because if it wasn't here first, the other individual has a right to leave his tree. Right, so that is the position of the Tana Kama. Now, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Afa Pisha Bor Kodemet Leilan. Even though the boar was there first, lo yikotz, you don't cut the tree down. I can plant the tree anywhere I want on my property, and you can dig a bore anywhere you want on your property. If I plant the tree on my property and the roots go out into your property, but that's my right. My right is to plant a tree here. So you can't demand that I move my tree away from your bore. You want to move away? You want your bore not to be damaged? You move your bore. I don't have to move my ilan. So what's clear is, Alma, Rabbi Yossi Savar Nizak L'Achik Et Atzmo. It's clear from here that Rabbi Yossi believes that the obligation devolves upon the Nizak, the one who's going to be damaged, to move away. He's saying, you, Bala Bore, even if you're here first, you got to move your bore because the other person has a right to put his ilan there. If you want to remove yourself, it's on the nizak. Rabbanan savri ala mazik l'achik et atzmo. On the other hand, the Rabbanan say it depends who was there first. Whoever's there first has the right. And therefore what? It's the mazik who has to remove himself. Whoever's there second is the problem. If they're the second one, then it's the mazik's obligation to remove himself. So if that's the case, that's the exact opposite of how we would have learned in our Mishnah if you believe our Mishnah is an issue of nizikin. So Ella, this is what we have to say. If you want to say that Reb Chiya bar Reb Yossi and Reb Chiya bar Abba argue in a machloket, it's beplugta Reb Yossi Rabbanan dahatam kamiflege. They're arguing in the machloket of Reb Yossi and Rabbanan in the Mishnah Baba Basra. So the Mishnah Baba Basra says that Reb Yossi believes that the obligation's on the nizak to remove himself. So too over here, right? That's what Reb Chiya bar Reb Yossi says. It's on the tachton to fix the roof, to fix the maziva. And just like the Rechamim over here say it's ala mazik to remove himself, so too, Reb Chiya bar Abba will hold ala elyon mitakein, that it's up the upstairs individual has to fix the maziva because he's the one causing the damage. So now we settled about Reb Chiya bar Reb Yossi and Reb Chiya bar Abba. Their machlokas matches up with the Reb Yossi and Rabbanan in Baba Basra. Now, Reb Yossi, Reb Rabbanan, v'hocha b'may plige. Alright, we clear that our Mishnah, they're not arguing about Nizakin, because then their opinions will come out the opposite of what it is in Baba Basra. So that can't be their machlokas. So what is the machlokas in our Mishnah? So the Gemara says, b'chozek tikra kamiflege. They're arguing about strengthening the ceiling. When it comes to strengthening the ceiling, Rabbanan savre, maziva achzuke tikrehu. When it comes to the upper, when you place the maziva, the plaster on top, what is the purpose or what is the benefit of the plaster? Is the benefit of the plaster that it actually strengthens the roof, the boards, or whatever is there present? The plaster just serves to reinforce it, right? V'akzuke tikra la tachton, right? By the akzuke. And whose obligation is it to put the roof there and to put the floor, you know, I mean, to create the floor? That's the obligation of the downstairs person. So since that's his obligation, not only is he obligated to put on the boards, he's also obligated to put on the maziva. Rabbi Yossi Savar. Now, Rashi explains the case here that's not a case of nezek, right? Before we said there was water pouring, right? It's falling through. So now we have a weakness in the maziva, right? And we're not talking about nezek. So we're not talking about nezek. So what's the case? If you look at the Rashi, it's the first wide line in the Rashi's. Bechazuke tikra. Ksheina tachton so ek. It's not a case where the downstairs guy is calling out and saying, listen, sheinu chashta mimav. He doesn't worry about the water that's falling through. El elyon so ek. The upstairs individual is upset. Vomer, shani dorech al nisarim. When I walk on the boards, hey menanim. They move, they shake, they creak. Right? Vani doeg, shemeta apecha chadmeim. I'm afraid one of them will flip over under me. Or it'll slip out by a pole and I'll fall down. So it's Shoal, to answer your question here, the issue is the upstairs individual is the one who is upset right now. True, because the downstairs individual is the maskir. So of course, you know, if it comes to any, you know, fixing over here, it's the obligation is the maskir because the maskir owns everything. So why is it that the maskir over here doesn't have any demand? Maskir doesn't have any demand because he's not bothered by it. The only question is that the socher now is bothered by it. So now if the socher is bothered by it, we have to ask, okay, once the socher is bothered by it, what is, whose obligation is the maziva or whose benefit is the maziva? So if you say that the maziva serves to strengthen the roof, then that'll be the obligation of downstairs or the obligation of the balabait, the maskir over here. On the other hand, what's the possibility? The other possibility or the other tzad is, right, Rabbanan and Savre, maziva achzuke tikrahu, achzuke tikrahu, tachton balazuke, Rabbi Yossi Savar, maziva ashvuye gumot hu. The purpose of the maziva is to flatten or make the surface, meaning that it basically smooths out the surface, right? It's not for strengthening the boards or the roof, but it's rather, or the ceiling, but rather the purpose of the maziva is to make it easier for the upstairs person to use it. Vashguve gumot alayona shvuye, the obligation to make it smooth or seal it, right? That's the upstairs individual's. That's his obligation. That's his benefit, and it's his obligation. Now, I'm assuming that he got the house with the maziva and it was flat, meaning that everything was fine. And through usage, it got worn down. So since this is, right, the wear and tear now was done by the upstairs person, he's got to fill in the gumot. He has to fill in the unevenness that is created by his usage upstairs. And therefore, it'll be his obligation. So that'll be the machlokas. Yeah. Correct. I think that's right. I think you're absolutely right that that's the case. That when we say Akzuke Tikra, I mean, the reason they have to have Akzuke Tikra is because the Tikra is not only the ceiling, it's also the floor for the upstairs, right? So if it's providing a stronger ceiling, it's also providing the floor for the upstairs. And that's right. That I think you're right. That is a capital improvement. Capital improvement is the obligation of the tachton or the balabait. And I agree, the shvuye gumot, which we see all the time, like in the Gemara and Shabbos and other places, that when they swept, you know, one of the reasons you can't sweep on Shabbos when you have a dirt floor is because of shvuye gumot, right? And we're afraid that you're going to smooth out the floor. So that was clearly aesthetic and a more pleasing way to use the floor. And if that's the case, it's not necessarily a capital improvement. It's a preference, right? Or something that makes life easier, but also from the fact that it wear and tear will cause it to be not a shvuye gumot. And then it's the responsibility of the individual who lives there to ensure that it remains smooth for his own benefit. So that machlokus about what the purpose of the maziva is will determine the opinions of the Rabbanan and the Rabbi Yossi and the Mishnah. The Rabbanan believe it's simply about strengthening the ceiling or basically the floor. It's part of the basic infrastructure of the house. And therefore, right, the Rabbanan believe that it's the obligation of the tachton on both of those. And Rabbi Yossi says no, that the maziva is a issue for the upstairs. It's to the benefit or the hana of the upstairs individual, but not a part of the structural aspects of the house, but rather a nicer, easier, more noach place to live. And that obligation will devolve upon the socher or the upstairs individual. Now, this all assumes that there's no nezek, that the downstairs individual is not bothered by the fact that there is any nezek that comes through over here. All right, now, Amar says, Ini. Right. It would actually switch. If it was Nezek, according to Rabbi Yossi, then the Maziva would also become the obligation of the Tachton, because right, exactly what you're saying, Shaul, that Rabbi Yossi believes it's the Nizak who has to remove himself, as opposed to the Chachamim who say the Mazik, and therefore it'll switch. Their opinions by Nezek will switch, be the exact opposite of what their opinions are in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Ini, is this really true? V'amar Rav Ashi, ki avina be Rav Kahana, v'amrina, when we were in the house of the base medrash of Rav Kahana, we used to say, mode Rabbi Yossi begire delay. That Rabbi Yossi agrees that when it's his direct damage that is taking place over here. So now this question is not a continuation of what we just said, but rather a question on Rabbi Chiya bar Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Rabbi Chiya bar Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that it's the downstairs neighbor's responsibility, and he's premising this on Rabbi Yossi's opinion that it's the Nizak who's responsible to remove himself from the damage. So is that really true? Because we have a statement from Rabbi Yossi that says, Begiri delay, when it's the individual himself that's causing damage, then there is Alamazik, has to be Marchik himself. And why is that? So Rashi explains that when it comes to the regular Nezek that happens in these cases, it's Groma. Right, when something happens, it's not your direct action that's causing the damage. There's some sort of ancillary or indirect item through the weakness of the mazivah that's causing damage to the person downstairs. So if that's the case, then we say tail the nizak to go away, or the roots that are growing in the ground. Over there, it's an indirect damage. It's, you planted the tree, you didn't stick the roots there, the roots grow over time. So that's something that is passive, indirect, that's grama benizikin. Grama benizikin is patur. But when it's adama mazik, it's no longer grama benizikin. You are directly damaging the individual downstairs. So here you go ahead, you pour water on the floor, you wash your hands there, the water goes straight downstairs, right onto the guy's head downstairs. If that's the case, it's no longer grama benizikin, it's adama mazik. Excuse me. And what's the din of adama mazik? The din of adama mazik is that you are chayav, no matter what. So how can Rabbi Chiya, in this case, Rabbi Chiya Rabbi Yossi suggests that Rabbi Yossi believes, or I'm holding of the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, when Rabbi Yossi doesn't say that? So Gemara says, no, the paske mai vahoda nefile, that this is a unique case over here, where it's not that he's pouring the water and it's going directly downstairs, but rather he's pouring the water, it falls on the floor, and then afterwards it runs off the floor down to, finds the holes or the leaks that are in the ceiling, and then it goes downstairs. So again, it becomes koach, you know, it's koach kocho, becomes a secondary or a derivative of koach, so in that case it reverts back to being grama benizakin. And since it's grama benizakin, Rabbi Yossi says, ala nizak, to la chakika tzatzmo, and if that's the case over here, then that's what Rabbi Chiya Rabbi Yossi is stating, that ala tachton, that it's the downstairs individual's obligation to remove the nez, or to put the maziva back on, to remove the nezik over here. All right, next Mishnah. Habayit v'aliyah shel shnayim. You have a house and an upstairs that belong to two different individuals. It's a duplex. Rashi explains the case that it's achim, that are brothers that divided up their yerusha, which is interesting, just in general, that they wouldn't assume that two people could possibly own, right, different parts of a house. That it's considered that duplex, like a du-mishpachti, only would happen if two individuals split some sort of yerusha. All right, shenaflo, they fell down. Amar balaliyala balabait. Obviously, the upstairs individual says to the downstairs individual, leave note, build the downstairs. I can't rebuild my house until you build the downstairs, which is basically the foundation for my upper part of the house. V'huene root said, leave note. And the downstairs individual doesn't want to rebuild. Ari balaliyah bune et abayit. The downstairs neighbor rebuilds the house. V'dar betocha. And he lives in it. Achitein lo etziotav. Until the balatachton, and the owner of the downstairs, pays him for the expenditures that he laid out, and then he'll build his aliyah afterwards and move upstairs. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, avzid dar betoch shel chavero. If you live in your friend's place, tzarich la'alot lo schar, you have to pay him for the rental, right? Because this is a case of ze nene v'ze lo choser. Right, you are getting benefit. The other individual is not losing because he wouldn't have built it anyway, but you're getting a benefit because you would otherwise have had to rent out somewhere else. So Zenen is a little chaser, and Rabbi Yehuda, it seems from this, believes that you're chayav in that case. Ela balalia bunet abayit ve'et aliyah. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, he rebuilds both the downstairs and the upstairs. Right, and mikaret al yona, he puts on the roof, he does all the work so that it's totally complete. V'yosheva bayit, and then he can live downstairs, ashitin lo et yitziotav, until he gives him all of his expenditures, because now it becomes a case of ze lo nehene, ze enu nehene, ze enu chaser. Right, he's not getting any benefit because his house is ready upstairs, he could go live there. So in the meantime, he lives downstairs, but he has a place to live upstairs, and the baal bayit is enu chaser because he wasn't planning on building it. So now he can live downstairs, because this becomes eno chaser and eno nene. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says that's fine. The Reed disagrees with Rashi at this point and says that can't be true. Because if he's able to live downstairs instead of upstairs, there really is a hanah for him. Because now he doesn't have to walk up the stairs every day. So how can you call it that? Ze eno nene, ze eno chaser. It's really ze nene. Ze nene is that he can live downstairs instead of upstairs and not have to climb the stairs every day. So the Reed says no, that he has to live upstairs. He builds the entire house, lives upstairs, and he can prevent the baal habayit, the baal tachton, from coming in downstairs, but he must live upstairs in order to be a case of Zen Unenu, and therefore he changes the girsa in the Mishnah to fit or to say that Vyoshev Bitocha, meaning that instead of it saying Vyoshev in the Bayit, it says Vyoshev Bitocha, and Tocha being the Aliyah that he built, the upstairs that he built. Right now, the Gemara says, and obviously when it's Zen Enev is a little chaser, it's Mechzik Rebit, it looks like Rebit. Right, in that instance, because over here you laid out money for the downstairs, right, individual, and now you're going to live in the house, right, and get benefit, basically free rent, and then he's going to pay you the money back in the end for the house. So it looks like you lent him money to build the house, and then you get the money back in the end, and in the meantime, you got free rent. So it looks like it's mechse ki ribit, right? And we had that earlier in the Masechta, right? We had that, I think it was on Samach Dalet. Where was that? Samach Dalet, I think. Samach Dalet Amud Bet and Samach Hey Amud Aleph, right? That we said that even though in general, right? The Amar Rabbi Yosef Bar Numi Amar Rabbi Nachman says Samach Hey Amud Aleph. Af bi shamru adar be chazer chaveru shlomi dato. Eino tzarich la lolo schar. That in general, zen enev zilu chaser, you don't have to pay for it. Hilvo, if you lend him money, v'dar b'chatzero tzarich lalot lo schar, and then you live there, you have to give him, you have to pay rent, because it is mechsei ki ribit, because it looks like ribit. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda is claiming over here. It's mechsei ki ribit, it's zen enev lo zelo chaser, and therefore you're going to have to give him rent if you're going to stay in the downstairs. Therefore, build the entire house, including your upstairs. Therefore, it becomes eno nene, eno chaser, and therefore it's no longer mechsei ki ribit. The Ri again here disagrees with Rashi and says, what mechzei k'ribit here? This isn't a loan. This is a transaction. He first of all built a house, and then he goes in afterwards to sell him the house. In the interim, he owned the house. There's no issue of mechzei k'ribit here. And Rabbi Yehuda's shita solely rests on the issue of zenene v'zelo chaser is chayav, according to Rabbi Yehuda. There's no issue of mechzei k'ribit that Rashi introduces into the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Now the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda has a common principle or common theme, which is that there's a din derabanan. This is not mi'ikar a din. This is a din derabanan. The rabbanan imposed that an individual should not benefit from another party without paying for it. I mean, it's almost like an asita yashar v'atov. It's not right to take something from someone else where they're not gifting it to you. Their intent is not to gift it to you. You're taking it without their knowledge. And even though technically maybe you don't have to pay in these instances, nevertheless, it's incorrect or it's improper for you to get benefit without compensating. So what are those cases? Chada haditznan, right? One is our Mishnah. That's where Rabbi Yehuda says it's incorrect for you to live. Even though Zenen Evzelo Chaser should be patur, nevertheless, the Rechamim imposed over here to pay for it because of Mechsei Kribit and because it's improper for you to take benefit in this situation. Idach Mahi, what's the other two cases? One is the Tznan. We have a Mishnah. This is a Mishnah we've seen in Baba Kama, right? I've seen it quoted a number of times. Note in Sever Letzaba, person gives wool to the dyer, Litzba lo Edom, to make it red, dye it red, Vitzavo Shachor, and instead he dyes it black. Shachor, he gives it to him to dye black, Vitzavo Edom, and instead he dyed it red. Rabbi Meir Omer, Notono Dmeitz Maro. Right, then Rabbi Meir says you give him back the wool because he was Kone Bishinoi. Since it was Kone Bishinoi, it becomes his at that point in time, and therefore he just compensates him for the wool. If the Shevach, the improved value, is greater than the expenditure, you have to give him the expenditure that he did to make it into the opposite color of what you wanted. If the benefit or the improved value is less than the expenditure, you just give him the improved value. So you see here again, Rabbi Yehuda is suggesting, or the way Rabbi Yochanan is learning Rabbi Yehuda, the reason that you have to compensate over here is not Mikar Din. Mikar Din, you are Shino is Kone, and you don't have to pay. But there's a Din de Rabbanan not to get benefit from someone else's work or someone else's efforts. So too over here, that's what Rabbi Yehuda is demanding, that you pay for it because you got some benefit from it. V'idach Mahi, what's the third case? That's none. We have a Mishnah. Misha Parah Miksat Chovo, someone who pays a portion of his loan, Vihishlish et shtaro, and then he places the shtar into escrow. Vamarlo, and he says, Im eina ani noten lecha mikan vadzman ploni, if I don't pay you the residual amount of the loan that I owe you by a certain time, ten lo shtaro, he says to the person in escrow, hand the shtar back to the moveh. Right? And therefore, he'll be able to collect the full amount. I mean, it's a penalty. If I don't finish the payment by that time, there'll be a penalty and you have to repay the whole thing. Higiazman velo natan. If the time comes and he doesn't give him the money, Rabbi Yosi Omer Yitain. Rabbi Yosi says, give the malveh back the contract and he'll be able to collect the penalty. Rabbi Yehuda Omer lo Yitain. He doesn't give it back. Amai, why not? Because Rabbi Yehuda Omer lo Yitain. That he says you don't give it. In this case, he doesn't give it back to the malveh. Why? Because if you give it back to the Malveh, it means that the Malveh now is benefiting at the expense of the Loveh. He's now able to collect 50% more than he should have because he already paid half of it down when he hands him back the contract. Now he's going to claim against him for another 100%. So my says, am I? How do you know that that's the case? In each of these instances, we can figure out what the opinion is of Rabbi Yehuda, and it might be that his opinion is actually what's driving his shita in all these cases, not this common theme that everything is that a chamim imposed some sort of knas or takana that we don't benefit from another individual. Why? Dilma, ad kan lo kama Rabbi Yehuda ochel mishum de'ika shachrurita. Maybe the case or the reason Rabbi Yehuda says you can't live in the house down below is because it's not just zenene v'zelo chaser. It's actually zenene v'ze chaser. Why? Because when you live in the house, you make the walls black. You blacken the walls, meaning that you paid or your expenditure was for a new house. Now you're going to go live in it. And then when the Baal Habayit, the Baal HaTachton comes to buy or pay you for your expenditures, he's going to pay you the expenditures of a new house. But what he gets back is not a used new house. He's going to get a used house. He's going to get back a house that you've lived in for a period of time. So that's why it's zenene v'zeh choser. If that's the case, that's why Rabbi Yehuda says you're chayav over here. Inami, or by the case of litzvo lo edom, litzvo shachor, mishum dekam mishaneh. That the case is that he's changing. V'chatznan, and we have a Mishnah called Mishanet yado ala tachnona. A Mishnah, right, that states that anybody who changes, his hand is on the bottom, meaning that the reason over here, shinoi is kone, and ochanami, shinoi is kone over here. The only question is, are we kones? In some ways, we allow the artisan or craftsman here to get compensated because he wasn't gozel on purpose. He wasn't gonev on purpose. He did it by accident. True, he ended up being a gazlan, and he made a shinoi. But it was an accident. So the chamim say, look, compensate him at least for his expenditures or the lower of his expenditures or the benefit over here. But in Ein Ochanami, Shinoi is Kone. And if it was a case where it was a Gazlan, Shinoi would be Kone, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So that could be his reasoning over there. And then the other thing is, Umi Shepara Mixat Chovo Nami, Havi Asmachto. The reason Rabbi Yehuda says it doesn't work is because it's an Asmachto. V'shemin le Rabbi Yehuda, Damar Lokani. So Rabbi Yehuda says that we know that Asmachto Lokanyo. So since Asmachto Lokanyo, over here it's an Asmachto. Why? Because how does this qualify? You remember if Tosfos gave us different ways to determine if something is an asmachto. So here it is within his control, but the compensation or the penalty is an exaggeration. It's way beyond the damage that he's caused him. And since it's an exaggerated penalty, therefore we say it's asmachto lokanya. He never believes he's going to have to pay that exaggerated penalty. So, Amar Rav Acha Bar Ada, Mishmei Deula. Okay, Tachton, now they go to rebuild the house. And the Tachton wants to change some of the materials he uses or the way he's building the lower part of the house. What right does he have to change when it comes to the lower half of the house? The same thing with the upper house. The upper part of the duplex, when they rebuild it, the upper duplex, when it's rebuilt, he wants to make some changes, structural changes. What is he permitted to do and what is he not permitted to do? So that's the matter. Tachton abalishnot b'gvil shomimlo. A person who wants to use gvil instead of gazit, right? But if he wants to use it, gvil instead of gazit, it works. But gazit ain't shomimlo. On the other hand, if he wants to put gazit instead of gvil, we say no. What's the difference between gvil and gazit? Gazit are hewn stones. Hewn stones sit perfectly together, and they form a base or a wall that is 5 tefachim wide. That means 2.5 tefachim from each party that gives in. It's 2.5 tefachim, and each 2.5 tefachim adds up to 5 tefach. On the other hand, if you use gvil, gvil are unhewn or not properly cut rocks. They have sharp edges left to them. So those sharp edges take up extra space. In that case, it's actually 6 tefachim. The base is 6 tefachim because, right, the what's it called, mursha of the oven, the sharp points of the oven take up space. And so because of that, it's a 6 tefachim wide base. So he can upgrade to widen the base, but he cannot downgrade to narrow the base, because obviously a wider base is stronger and better. And therefore, he's allowed to switch to gvil to widen, which brings it from 5 to 6 tefachim. On the other hand, he can't switch from gvil to gazit, because then he's narrowing the base from 6 tefachim down to 5 tefachim. Bikfisim shomimlo, bilavenim im shomimlo. Now, when it comes to the bricks, right, if he uses whole bricks, right, each brick is 3 tefachim wide. So if each brick is 3 tefachim wide, the bricks will make a base that is 3 tefachim wide. On the other hand, if he uses kvisim, kvisim are actually half bricks. So each half brick is 1.5 tefachim. But when you use half bricks, you don't just put a half brick and a half brick and then you get a whole brick. No, when you use half bricks, you place a half brick and a half brick, and then you put a tefach with a filler between the two half bricks. So you actually put up almost two walls of half bricks, and then you fill in a tefach of filler in between. So what ends up happening now is that the wall will be wider or thicker. The base will be thicker. So if you want to switch from whole bricks to half bricks, that is permitted, because there you're going to end up with a base, again, that is one tefach wider than if you just use plain bricks, right? But on the other hand, if it is already half bricks, and you want, it was the original structure was half bricks, now you want to downgrade to being whole bricks, where it'll only be 3 tefachim wide, you can't do that. The tachton, the lower individual, can't do that. Now, if he wants to, l'sachek barazim shomim lo, if he wants to use floorboards, meaning the ceiling or the floorboards we made out of cedar, we let him do it. B'shkamim ain shomim lo. And when it comes to using sycamore, we don't listen to him. Now, cedar is heavier but stronger. So again, if he wants to upgrade to cedar and make it a stronger ceiling and floor, the guy upstairs says no problem. But if he wants to downgrade, he originally had cedar and now he wants to downgrade to sycamore, so those boards are lighter, right, and they're not going to last as long, not as good as quality, that he can't do. So now, the ma'et b'chalunot, if he wants to reduce the number of windows he has on his downstairs area, shomim lo, he can do that. Whereas, l'harbot b'chalunot, if he wants to make more windows, ain't shomim lo. Why? Because the more windows you have, the less structurally, the integrity of the structure is diminished by the more open spaces for the windows. So if you reduce the number of windows, the upstairs guy says, fine, if you want to upgrade and make it more structurally strong with less windows, that's fine. But if you want to upgrade, you want to downgrade, meaning downgrade the quality of the walls by putting in more windows, that I can object to. I don't want that because you're going to weaken the base that is holding up my upstairs level. So now Gemara says, Lahagbia ain shomim lo. If he wants to raise the ceiling, we don't let him, because that means the upstairs individual now will have to climb higher to get into his house. Lima'eit shomim lo. If he reduces the height of his house, that's fine, because the upstairs guy will be fine with going up less stairs. Why should he mind going up less stairs than more stairs? So now the klal, or the basic principle that is established over here, is that the downstairs individual, anybody, if he wants to expand or widen the base, right, or strengthen it, if he does that, then we listen to him. We let him do it because he's upgrading at his own expense and to the benefit of the upstairs individual, because he'll now have a stronger foundation or base, right? On the other hand, if the change, right, is to the detriment of the support or structure, then we say that the downstairs individual cannot do this, because he is now affecting the upstairs upstairs person or the upstairs owner, because now if he builds on top of this, he has a structure that has less integrity to it. Now the opposite, exact opposite, will be true about the Elyon, about the upstairs neighbor. Elyon shebali shno begazit shomim lo. If the upstairs individual wants to narrow his walls and put in gazit, hewn stone, then we listen to him. Begvil, if he wants to upgrade and make it a wider wall, ain't shomim lo. We don't listen to him. Why? Because now the objection is coming from the downstairs neighbor. This is the upstairs neighbor building. The downstairs neighbor is going to say, listen, originally you had this much weight sitting on my house. Now you want to upgrade and make a thicker wall? You're putting extra weight on my house. That I do not accept. Now, if you downgrade the quality of the wall, that's fine with me. That's your wall upstairs, and less weight on my, that I have to carry the burden of, that I'm very happy with. Right now, the same will be true because kvisim ain shomim lo. If he wants to upgrade to half bricks, which is a 4 tefach, a wider base, we don't listen to him. But levinim, if he wants to downgrade to a single brick, which is 3 tefachim, we listen to him. But arazim ain shomim lo. If he wants to put in cedar, upgrade to cedar, we don't listen to him because that's more weight that sits on the lower house. Bishikma shomim lo. On the other hand, if he wants to downgrade to sycamore, then we listen to him because now the downstairs weight is reduced, meaning that there's less weight sitting on the bottom structure, and that should be fine. There are both b'chalonot shomim lo. If he wants to make more windows, he's entitled to do that. Why? Because the more windows there are in the upstairs, the less weight that has to sit on the downstairs. L'ma'et b'chalonot, to reduce the number of the windows, that is not permitted in shomim lo, right? Because then he will end up putting more burden or weight on the downstairs house, so that he's not entitled to do. Lagbia ain shomim lo. If he wants to raise it, we don't listen to him. Lema'et shomim lo. If he wants to take it down or lower, then we do listen to him. All right, so now we've had the Elyon and the Tachtonim explained, right? What is the situation, or who's able to object in all each of these situations? Now the Gemara says that assumes that they're going to rebuild. What happens in a case she'ein lo lezeh v'lo lezeh? Neither of them has the monetary means to rebuild the house, not the downstairs and not the upstairs. So now you have a vacant piece of land, or right, a house that was destroyed at a vacant piece of land. What do we do for these two individuals over here? So Rashi says, the case here is that we have land, and the owner of the land wants to sell the land out now. Now he wants to sell the land. Who gets the proceeds from that sale? So that's the discussion. That's what the Rashi claims is going on over here. So, Ein lo lo zev, lo lo mai. What's the din? Tanya, Rabbi Natan Omer. But Bryce, Rabbi Natan says, Atachton notel shnei chalakim elyon shlish. That if you sell the property, according to Rashi, if you sell the property, 2/3 of the proceeds goes to the downstairs owner, and 1/3 goes to the upstairs owner. Vacherim omrim. And others say, Tachton notel shlosha chalakim. The downstairs takes 3/4, velyon notel revia, and the upstairs takes a quarter. So now, Amar Rabba, nokot Rabbi Natan biyadech. You should keep Rabbi Natan's din. Why? The dinohu, he's a dayan, right? V'nachid umka didina, and he knows how to, he gets to the bottom line. He knows how to get to the right conclusion of the bottom line, and therefore you should listen to his halacha. Kasover, kama masid aliyah b'bayit. How much of a diminishment in the lifespan of a house is caused by the upper house? If you have a freestanding house versus a duplex, adding the duplex or the extra exertion or weight on top, how much does that diminish the lifespan of the house? So Gemara claims it diminishes it by 1/3. So since it diminishes it by 1/3, that is the right of the upstairs neighbor to take away 1/3 of the value of the downstairs neighbor. So too over here. And that's what the Gemara says. That would be the same for this individual. Hilkach itlei tilta, therefore he gets 1/3. And that's the opinion of Rabbi Natan. The reason you get 1/3 is because you're entitled to cause a loss of 1/3 for the downstairs owner. Therefore, you're entitled to, if you put it back together, you're entitled to 1/3. If you sell out the karka or their proceeds over here, you're entitled to 1/3 of those proceeds. That's the way Rashi explains the case over here. The Tosfos takes issue with Rashi. And he says that the case here is not where they're going to sell the karka, but rather where the Baal HaBayit says, I'm not going to build a house, I'm going to plant it now. I'm going to make it into an agricultural field, and I'm going to plant it. So now the question is, what rights do you have over here? The upstairs neighbor says, listen, you were mishabed this land to build a house, and then I could put a upstairs on top of it, right? So therefore, right, if that's the case, I can plant also alongside with you, because you are mishabed to me. Or do we say that he says, look, you have no rights in this land. You have a right to build a upper story when there's a lower story there, but you have no rights to land whatsoever. And therefore, you would not be permitted to plant in that land, according to Tosfos. So the Ri sees the issue over here being about planting the field, whereas Rashi sees the issue about selling the actual plot of land. That's what the machlokas or the issue that the Gemara is dealing with over here. Right now, we'll start the next Mishnah, and then we'll finish up this Mishnah, and then we'll continue with the Sugya tomorrow. Where it says, V'chein beit abad shebanui basela. You have a olive press that is carved out into the bedrock, right? V'gina achat al gabav. Because it's carved into the bedrock, there's actually land above it, and that's planted with a garden, owned by two individuals. And of course, Rashi says again here, that's a case that it fell to the brothers, and the brothers split it that way, because otherwise, how else would you have a case like this? That's what it feels like from Rashi. Right, nifchat, and then the roof collapses in. Haribala gina yared v'zirei lamata, Rashi said the beit bado. So, kipin. That the upstairs individual used to be able to plant up top, which now collapsed in, can go downstairs and plant on the floor of his olive press, because that's the land that's now available. That's what's meshubad to him. So now, akotel vayilan shenaflu l'reshut harabim, a tree or a wall that fall into reshut harabim, vezikon, and they cause damage, patur. In that case, it's patur m'lishalem to pay, because it's ones. He has no way of foreseeing this or thing that it would happen, and therefore it's an ones over here. Not the low zman lakut. So Bezdin tells him you have this and this much time to cut it down at the ilan. Restore it to Kodo to destroy this wall because they are a public nuisance. Because they're very likely going to fall. You have to remove them. If they fall before the expiry of the time that it was allocated to him, then he is patur. La'achar zman, if he does it after the time period that Beis Din awarded him to or afforded him to take down the tree of the wall, then he's chayab because he should have taken it down. Now he's no longer an ones. He had a warning. He was told clear to take it down, and he didn't take it down. Mishaya kodo samuch ginat chavero. A person has a wall up against the garden of his friend, v'nafal, and it falls into his friend's garden. V'amar lo pnei avanecha. So he says, the individual who owns the garden says, look, come and pick up your stones. They're ruining my garden. Get them out of my garden. He says, you know what? I'm after them. They're yours. You can keep them. Somebody says, ain't shomimlo. We don't listen to him. He doesn't have a right to impose a gift on another individual. Meaning that, true, if it's hefker and he wants to take it, that's fine. But if he doesn't want it, and he tells you that, you know, he's going to tell you that he doesn't want it, then you don't have a right to impose on him, right, that he takes those bricks or those stones. Mishikibel alav, once the individual, say that Balagina says, yes, you know what, I'll keep the stones. Then Amarlo, the Balakoto comes back and everyone changes his mind and says, hey, lechetziotecha, here, let me pay for the cost of money it cost you to remove the stones. Vaniatolachili, and I'm going to take my stones back. Then he is Ein Shomimlo. He doesn't have such a right. Now, this all assumes that he made a kinyan, that the first individual, the upstairs neighbor over here, says that, I agree to take the stone. I'm sorry, the Gina, the owner of the garden over here, says, I agree to take the stones, and he removes the stones. By removing the stones, he's now made a kinyan on their agreement. He makes a kinyan on the agreement. The other individual doesn't have a right to reverse it, and that's why we don't listen. Ain't shomimlo. Asocherata poela sotimo beteven ubekash. Person who hires a worker to work with him in, right, straw and stalks. Vamarlo ten li schari. And the poel, the worker, says, pay me my wages. I'm done with the day. It's time for me to pay my, for you to pay my wages. Vamarlo tu mashasita bischarcha. The balabayit says back to him, you know what? Collect, you can have what you want. Just take it out of what you did. The work you did, take your compensation out of that. Ain shomimlo. We don't, listen to him for this. Even though in general we say that kesef, anything that shava kesef has a din of kesef, over here, the din of a poel is baltalin, because he has a din of scharo. Scharo means his money. He has to get compensated. Mishikibel alav, if the poel accepts to take in-kind payment, accept tevin and cash payment, and then the Baal Bayit makes changes his mind and says, listen, I'll pay you cash. I just want back, right, the tevin and cash. Vaniatola Chili, and I'll take my stuff back. Inchumlimlo. Again, we don't listen to him. Again, this is a case where he made a kinyan. He mean he already removed or took the tevin and cash. Since he made a kinyan already, it becomes an irreversible, right, agreement. And the balabayit or the owner who's paying over here or the balakotel doesn't have a right now to reverse his position or change his mind at this point in time. Okay, we'll stop over here and we'll continue with the Gemara on this Mishnah tomorrow.